That means I guess we're getting live now. Dr. Fred Bell here, and got my special guest tonight, Dr. Deagle, and I want to also announce that we'll get Dr. Deagle on as much as he can possibly stand it. He's got his own show and a lot to do. I've got a lot of celebrities coming on, a lot of movie people that you would recognize that are in politics and that coming on in the future. Pamela Sue Martin is coming on. She was the girl that was in Nancy Drew series, and she was a Greenpeace fighter. And I noticed my camera gets whacked up pretty fast, so if you go to fredbell2002@yahoo.com on Yahoo Messenger, we're trying out another camera so that we have more cameras. So that's fredbell2002@yahoo.com, and maybe you'll be able to see the camera work there. We're trying to get that going. Anyhow, my buddy Dr. Deagle is on, and I don't even know where to start. Maybe we should start with Chinese attacking St. Louis. What do you think, Dr. Deagle? How you been all week?
Good. Busy working on lots of different projects.
Did you get my book?
No, I haven't received it yet. I think it got sidetracked by CSIS. I think they're reading it.
Yeah. Tell everybody out there how the burning of the libraries of Alexandria and the Canadian government seem to be having things in common now.
Well, I think it's easier to get a book to the outer rim of the Pleiades than it is to get a book into Canada.
Yeah.
The government here seems to be hell-bent on keeping it a bubble away from the American culture. And, of course, any dialogue with people that are in the States, of course, I'm a dual citizen, so I'm an American that lives in Canada. And I find it kind of bizarre. But, you know, maybe they just want to become, you know, in a different time zone.
Maybe my book's going to be censored. I'll sell a lot of books if that happens.
Ooh, censorship is great. I mean,
yeah, censorship is really good, especially from Canada. Because Canadians,
well,
you know, Don and Doug Newsome are Canadian. They're a little strange.
Uh-huh.
So I know that Canadians are strange. That's okay, though.
Yeah, well, once you give Canadians the truth, they run with it, you see.
Yeah, it's true. So anyhow, tell us a little bit. We had a nice discussion the other day. I guess it was on Friday or Saturday. I forget when it was. Yesterday, we had some really interesting topics we wanted to bring up. One of them being the what goes on with China, and then we want to talk about some of the near disasters that never quite make it to the news.
Well, we can start off with a couple of these are real stories, by the way, real dates, and I have a pretty good memory. March 19th, 1995, I had dinner with Colonel Lynn Wills, who was the head of Strategic Defense Command, U.S. Space Command. And he's the guy that calls the president if there's incoming nuclear missiles, and they work at NORAD. He's one of the radar commanders that if he or his men feel there's a thermal signature of an incoming missile to American territory or overseas in Guam or Hawaii, that they start what's called HUE, which is the supercomputer under NORAD that starts on the launch on command sequence, and then they send a signal to the Tesla Tower on top of Cheyenne Mountain in Colorado Springs, and it sends a signal to our submarines that are down in the Mid-Pacific Trench, down a few miles down, and they get ready to start their SLBMs, their submarine launch ballistic missiles, and our silos all over the world start going, plus our satellite-based war systems. And believe me, every cubic centimeter of space around Earth is completely dominated by America's space-based weaponry. So anybody who doesn't think that we have multiple levels, and some of the technology is many hundreds of thousands of years ahead of what people think even exists, because they've obtained it from other sources. So we're sitting around dinner, carving up the roast and talking to Colonel Wells, and then after a while, he says, you know, the week before, he got very somber, you know, we went to DEFCON 4. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, when you go to DEFCON 4, we start the sequence, and you get a 90-second window where we have to contact the president to decide if we're going to get the transfer codes and start the sequence for HUE, which is their anachronism for the Launch on Command Sequence supercomputer. And once HUE gets started, once you activate him, you kind of tuck your head where the sun doesn't shine and get ready, because all hell literally is going to break loose. And they already had retargeted Chinese cities and towns, and were also ready to target all Russian towns and cities, so they felt there might be a conjoined attack. And the Chinese didn't use the courtesy to call the NORAD that they were actually firing a missile into American airspace, and that it had no payload, but they sent it directly toward, according to their calculations of its trajectory, directly toward St. Louis. And they finally blew it up without a payload on it at 110 miles in space over the city of St. Louis. And we were really close. I mean, we were less than 90 seconds away from pushing the button, as they say. That's happened many times. I mean, this is not just one time. It's happened a lot. And there's been interventions, too, to kind of lock down the silos. In fact, I talked to some radar guys, and they told me that the silos were came a lot closer than that back several times through the 90s. And one time, the actual silo doors all locked, not only here but over in Russia. And obviously, that wasn't our technology that did that. So, you know, we're obviously under observation. We are a culture that's on the brink of either destruction or moving forward into the galactic community. And we're about to annihilate ourselves. In fact, the kinds of experiments going on with antimatter are patently insane. They're going on. And they don't know if they might create a chain reaction. It could even turn the Earth and our solar system into a black hole. But that's, you know, kind of beside the point. You know,
the Pleiadians actually demonstrated that to me one time, you know, on one of their demonstrating devices, much like a television set. It was a little scary because it takes out all matter.
Right, it can do it fairly rapidly, and you know, the problem is, you see, that we're trading with nations and civilizations that are far more advanced than us, and we don't have the we're like toddlers that decide to sprint, and you know, we're going over the side of the cliff. So our society is infantile, and there's a lot of advanced factions that are all at each other's throats at the same time. They're making deals. Like the Chinese, I saw the actual documents that we transferred to the Chinese through the Iridium Project, satellite targeting technologies for hitting American cities with long-range nuclear missiles back in the early 90s, in 1993, December, through Lockheed Martin Inter Sputnik, which is a project that was designed after we did an assessment in the 80s that the Russians couldn't accurately target us, so they wanted to make sure that they could accurately target. So the Russians and Chinese were given this through the back door of the Iridium Project. And, of course, through Los Alamos, they also gave MIRV, which is a multiple independent targeting technology, so they could have multiple warheads on each missile. And also micro-miniaturization and et cetera, that we, you know, had this huge pipeline of information going to China during the latter days of Bush Sr. and then into Clinton. Very, you know, insane policies. because I worked as a doctor taking care of these people working on lots of advanced projects, they would share with me things they wouldn't share with their wife or children or husbands, because they, you know, obviously everything's classified. And I'm supposed to be their doctor, and of course I won't share their names, but yeah, the thing is, everybody's extremely compartmentalized. They don't really know what's going on, even in the other building beside them or in some other project. But they often wanted to share what was going on in theirs, and their eyes got very wide when I would explain to them what the bigger projects were and what they were actually involved with.
Yeah, I did the same thing in my consulting days with 3,000 different companies. I would get to, as a, you know, instrumentation expert, I would get to hear a piece of it from each department and then from company to company, because I'd go to all of them on the same project. So you get the big picture that way.
Right, yeah. And, of course, the other thing is that I'm an intuitive and I remote view, so when you combine my scientific ability and my other abilities, I'm kind of not a good guy to have around, especially because I have a photographic memory. So
you have lots of fun like I do.
Oh, yeah, I have a lot of fun. And, of course, I love putting people that are hardened military or special guys that are doing these weird projects and kind of freaking them out by telling them what's really going on. It was a lot of fun back in the 90s when I did that. And my colleagues would, you know, like float along like they were just completely unaware. In fact, I was just watching an hour or so before the program tonight, Harry Potter, the Prisoner of Azkaban, and it's almost like there's another world out there that the regular people are completely unaware of. They're just like they float through life like they just have no idea. They're just like a little feather on a cloud that nothing touches them and nothing else is existing. And That's disturbing because, in fact, that ignorance is the source of the void that allows, you know, negativity, evil, and destruction to move in. In fact, if you just had a percentage, 1 or 2% of the population of Earth that would come in line with what really is going on, all of this foolishness and destruction that's coming at us would probably not happen.
That's
and that's,
true.
Of course,
and
what the purpose...
And we were talking also about preparedness and...
Right, and that's why...
We had somewhat of a civil defense network in place, which you obviously don't have now. I remember in World War II, people were learning to spot silhouettes and recognize aircraft. And then
right.
We also had a couple of bottled waters laying around. Explain to everybody out there.
Exactly, and that's why this is on multiple levels. You have to be ready on an intellectual level and on a physical level. Pardon me?
So tell them what Homeland Security is doing for us and what they're supposed to do.
Well, I love stories because stories kind of get the point through. December 12th, 2002, I stood in the Adams Mark Hotel in the Denver downtown. And we had 900-some medical, military, and nursing personnel with the FBI, the CDC, and FEMA directors. And the FEMA director was up giving a little talk, and he'd asked the audience to give him questions. Of course, I am usually the one who gives about 99% of the questions because I like to stick it right to them.
Yeah, I like that new Sprint commercial. You're sticking it to yourself. Well,
right.
You know.
Well, I asked the FEMA director, I said, you know, I'm very distressed by the policy, because I actually got the documents that FEMA has.
James Witt, by the way?
Yeah.
Yeah, James Witt. Okay, you can throw that. Right,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Policy that FEMA has that if there is a chemical, biological, or nuclear event happens in a city like Denver, and I use the example of an event that happened, say, in Republic Plaza, which is downtown, it's another very important area in Denver, that they would set up a, say, 3-mile perimeter, and then if anyone tried to escape the perimeter, it wasn't to decontaminate them or to help them or whatever, it's to shoot and stick them in a body bag. And I said, you know, and then also your policy that if there is a biological release, it's to stick people in warehouses like the actual plans to put them to Centennial Airport. 500 men separate the women and children into different buildings under armed guard. And, of course, then they can make sure they coffin each other. And, of course, you open the window so the draft will carry all the bugs so it gets everyone. I said, you know, your policies are designed to cause a maximum amount of death. And I got a standing ovation from the audience. And, of course, the guy beside me had a lot of military braids on his chest. He says, you're not going to get out of the room alive. I said, watch me. I said, I'm going to walk towards the FEMA director as he gets off the podium. I can guarantee he'll keep a distance because he won't want me to ask him any more questions because I'll be sufficiently loud he'll try to escape.
I love it.
And... I think that's the approach we all have to take. I hear stories of people should say they should slink around and be quiet. But really,
work.
And everything is put out to the light, whether it's religious foolishness, political foolishness, geopolitical, or the very myopic idea that mankind is the only sentient being in this part of the galaxy or this dimensional plane is pretty ridiculous. And it's, in fact, the very foundation upon which ignorance is a foundation upon which destruction comes. So several months ago, I got a contact from Major Frank Stoltz, who's an old U.S. Marine Corps. This guy's real down to earth, and he said to me, well, Doc, you're an old trauma doctor, because I did my first trauma certification, and the guys in Melange were the 82nd Airborne back in the 80s. And he said, you know, we got to put something together for civil defense. He wrote this book called Weapons of Mass Destruction, Attack on America. And the first half of the book was a novel. Second half was taken from, you know, many books that he got. But one of the main ones was the U.S. Armed Forces Nuclear, Biological, and Chemical Survival Manual. And I said, okay, I'll put this together. And I completed it about, 3 weeks ago now, kind of a summary where I took his template. And it's about 14 pages. It's on my website, neutralmedical.com. And it's free. You can just upload it and look at it. It's a checklist for... And it's an initial try. Obviously, we're going to refine this. We didn't want to flood people with hundreds or thousands of pages of documents. We wanted them to start realizing that survival is very possible, that responding is logical, and it's very simple. And people need to start getting prepared because in our near future, we have a number of events that are going to happen that are going to be unpleasant, but we can survive. It's like some people try to tell me it's the end of the world, and I say, you're a fool, but it's going to get very messy. Maybe you wish it was the end of the world, but it won't be. And
I had a talk with some people that work in intelligence very, very way up on the totem pole last night that I hadn't spoken to in 14 months last night, and they just totally echoed what you said. I can't say who they are, what they said, but I got it from right in the horse's mouth last night. You know, people are still inside.
Well, absolutely, and I'll just kind of give you the top likely events. There's two events that are pretty certain. The first one, and I got this from so many sources from both NSA and IDF agents that I knew personally, that we have almost, in special op, because I taught the course 3.5 years ago for the American Academy of Environmental Medicine in St. Louis. I taught the course on bioterrorism to the Academy and our special op in Delta, and of course the next 3 days we just traded stories, lots of interesting stories about what we've done, where we've been, et cetera, et cetera. The most recurring story was that almost certainly there will be a nuclear event happen in U.S. cities. Now, my sources, and I won't give all of them, but there's some from so many different angles, I know that this story is true, is that U.S. cities already have a lot of these suitcase and larger nukes already pre-placed in U.S. cities all over the country. And, in fact, they're maintained by Mossad nuclear agents and Russian GRU. And likewise, European and Russian cities and other cities in other countries are also wired and ready to blow. People don't realize this. They don't realize that there's this literal dance of death with all these different countries kind of interlocked. At the same time, they've got this military-industrial complex, which is, in a sense, their global economy for transferring wealth and power. And, you know, and of course, it's really interesting that the Dubai Ports world was just trying to do this contract, which I heard is an affiliate of Halliburton. It looks like Halliburton's going to try to make the try to get the deal. But to me, it's all a game. Everything is a game. You know, if they blow up a city, it's because they wanted to. And the reason why I know that is because I took care of the guys in U.S. Star Wars. I was their doctor. And they have what's called ELF, spectral array analyzers, that can build a three-dimensional image and even know the molecular structure of an object up to 440 meters below ground. So they can tell if it's leather, wood, clay, steel, titanium, whatever, and see up to a kilo of scintillating material. And you can't do lead shielding because you're not looking for high-energy particles. You're looking for the molecular signature. And they also fly jets and helicopters over every U.S., Canadian, European, British, et cetera, city. And in America, it's every week. So there's no way a bomb literally could explode in a U.S. city without the total acceptance of the powers that be of the multiple agencies in the United States and other agencies that are interlocking, that are spying on our agencies. That's part of the global matrix, if you want to call it.
Yeah, because, you know, I know they can detect these nuclear briefcase devices.
Oh, yeah. It's not a problem. And the fact is, it's not a shielding issue. They're not using radiation detectors. It's a different technology.
Right, exactly.
It's using what's called, is using scalar imaging technologies that use harmonic scalar waves. So it's not related to, you can't shield it with lead or anything else. It's still going to pick it up.
Yeah.
So number one, I want to get this through to everyone. So if a bomb blows up in Chicago or in any other city, they did it just like they did 9/11. That's why they charged and grabbed all these Mossad agents, and by the way, then they just shipped them back to Israel, and of course, many of them are back here again. The building was blown with ferrite and nuclear bombs, just like they blew up Oklahoma City. The agent that told me, who was a U.S. munitions agent from Fort Carson, my boss was supposed to do the exit exam, Major George Swinder. The agent broke down and told me over 2 hours exactly how they did it and all the chemistry and how they removed two micronukes and a C4 pineapple. And of course, my friend, Colonel Craig Roberts, has friends that even knew that they had monitored the release of radioisotopes in nearby facilities, and everything pointed to the fact that this was blown up from the inside out by pre-placed munitions that were very advanced. You know, that's why, for example, the concrete in the building in the Twin Towers was turned into powder, because a regular bomb would have even
Everything
chunks.
Was vaporized.
Yeah, so it was
they
vaporized.
They didn't find any trace of anything, papers or anything, except one passport somebody probably dropped on the street.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that funny? A passport. Listen, this is a passport made of a new material from a far-off galaxy. that can withstand, you know, 10,000 degrees. The whole thing is a lie, and the public has to realize that the lies are getting so convoluted in there, and they're getting so bold.
Just a case in point, if you were to take a 19-foot Ryder truck and fill it with ammonia nitrate fertilizer and put it not inside a building but outside a building and blow it up, could you even, I mean, you get the windows blowing out, but how much of the cement do you think you'd actually damage?
Very little. In fact, there were pillars further away, and I've seen the analysis by Colonel Roberts and others.
Yeah.
The ANFO bomb in Cobar Towers was analyzed by the same munitions team, and they said it was 7 times the amount.
Yeah.
And it just pushed the windows in, and of course, the concrete quality in Africa is very, very low.
Right.
And it didn't even destroy the structural integrity of the Cobar Tower building.
Right.
So, no, this
was
that was
a fertilizer bomb.
Yeah. Now, my friends in Special Op and Delta in Norfolk, Virginia, actually sent me parts of the Patriot Act 2 years before 9/11, and I sat down March 1, 2001, with Dr. Jay Reddington and the FBI and CDC Director of Bioterrorism, and they told me very specifically that they were doing simulations of jets going into the lower Manhattan area and the World Trade Center towers. So just like the Lone Gunman episode
Well, just look at this as another example on the Oklahoma incident. I mean, the rear end, they found that most of the truck parts are found. I mean, pretty much the truck came apart, which a fertilizer bomb could do.
Yeah, it'll take it apart.
Identify all the serial numbers. I mean, hello, if it was taken out, you know, all that concrete and everything, they would have vaporized the truck. It didn't do that.
Yeah, you wouldn't even find dime-sized pieces of truck or axle or anything else.
Yeah, exactly, and they found the entire, saw the pictures in magazines of the entire rear end intact with the axle still connected, the tires blowing off. I saw the motor laying there. I mean, that motor would, you know, the way it took out that concrete, that motor's made out of cast iron. It would have gone really fast, you know. So, I mean, there was such a contradiction. And
yeah, so I want to get through to people that this is not open to discussion. I don't want people to argue with me. Since I've been speaking about this, too, I got so much evidence to just boil it all down. The government did it. The globalists did it. The above government organizations did it. And then motivation, of course, we'll kind of reveal this over a number of shows. What I want people to do is start getting ready. And the first event that's very likely, and it's interesting with this Dubai Ports World, is the nuke is going to go off in a U.S. city, one or more cities, simultaneously and or overseas. So just accept that they're going to blow up a bomb in one or more U.S. cities. And you can't survive it, just like people survived Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And they want to do it because they've had plans for years to stick the chip in everybody. Now, it doesn't matter what people's race, religion, viewpoints, whatever, it's, we're all on the same planet. We're like, as I say, we're in the same elevator. And we got to stop dividing and stop, you know, pretending that this isn't happening or having different opinions on it. Reality is just reality, whether people want to accept it. And I'm a person who's always viciously attacked the truth to find what the hell it is, whether I like it or not, whether it's something I want to accept or whether it's something that even fits my worldview. And I just modify my worldview, which is why maybe some people think I'm weird, but the fact is that I can document where I've been and what I've done, and it's real. And
yeah,
if they don't like it, well...
You know, I've been on your website a lot, and there's a lot of great documentation, a lot of good stuff over there. We keep your website right up on the front page of the blog.
Well, I try to make links, too, because there's a certain amount that's out in the public. In fact, it's like Alex Jones, who's on his shows on Genesis right before mine.
Yeah.
If you just take the public documents, and you don't even get into classified stuff, which I also want to get into. I believe, and I try to encourage people that listen to my program on my show and on this one, contact me. But
yeah,
be brave. Don't be gutless. Don't be a spineless jellyfish and think you can just put your first name out and you can tell this kind of scary story without saying your whole name and all the details. Because you only have two things. You got your life and you got your reputation. Now, if you put your whole name out, they can trash your reputation like they're trying to trash mine, and I'm sure they try to trash yours. But if they trash your reputation, you're probably going to live. Because they don't want anybody to believe you, because if anybody believed the weird stuff that you're telling is the actual truth, like mercury is toxic to your brain, aspartame will cause Alzheimer's, well, my God, people might not stop buying Diet Pepsi. My God, people may actually start getting nuclear detectors and getting ready for a possible nuclear attack in U.S. cities.
Yeah.
People might even take seriously the fact that the government and the above government organizations completely bioengineered the avian flu because it's coming, because they want to slay a huge chunk of the world population, because it's part of their plan. They want to reduce the population, move a lot of it off-world to terraform a number of planets in our solar system and elsewhere. Their plans are all laid out on what they want to do. They want to create, you know, Agenda 21. It's right there in the Rio Conference in 1992. The United Nations had a 1995 Security Council meeting that they want to reduce the world population with whatever means is necessary, including use of military force, geotectonic warfare, biological weapons, harmonic energy weapons, whatever it takes. So if people don't want to believe this ugliness, well, sorry, you're wrong.
Yeah,
and true. I want people to be ready so we won't have it happen. And honestly, if people just started preparing, to give you an example, I put together last year with Lemetco a first line of defense kit for biological, and it's based on the principles of hygiene, host defenses, and reverse protection. It's like the next step from Semmelweis, the Hungarian physician 150 years ago that said, you know, after you do an autopsy, it's a good idea to wash your hands before you deliver babies.
I would think so.
So the woman wouldn't die of puerperal infections and die of sepsis. It was like 20 times more likely she would die of an infection than if she delivered at home. Well, I'm telling people that they really should start thinking about the fact that if they travel to Asia, they should be wearing a particle mask that will stop viruses. Number two, they should wipe down surfaces so they don't transfer, not just avian flu. There's so many resistant bugs out there now, it's unbelievable.
Six antibiotics for every bacterial infection. You know, that was used to be the average, and now everything's becoming immune to it.
Oh, yeah, and they haven't developed a new antibiotic in like 5 years. I mean,
it's true, yeah.
There's no new antibiotics in America in like 5 years, okay? Yeah. So
now we got nanobacterial infections, which is a whole other...
Well, of course, that's been bioengineered.
We don't have nano-antibiotics.
Well, yeah. They have those nanobacteria, of course, are in the chemtrails,
right,
which, again, are another weapon that are spraying all over us.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's not to be paranoid. I don't believe in this paranoid garbage. I say, you know what, I hate the word conspiracy, and people say theory. No, I said, how about we change it so every time they hear the word conspiracy, they say, conspiracy, reality.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I was at the University of Michigan, we were studying the people at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and we found that people right up close to the blast didn't have radiation poisoning, and people far away did. We wondered why, and we found out that the people that were immune to the radiation had large amounts of electrolytes. And so I found out that they were taking herbs with Fotai, ginseng, and gota-cola. So I developed one of my formulas, a trace mineral formula called Pirilo, has a lot of that in there.
Right, and the other thing, of course...
I've been doing this stuff for years, and it'll help. And then plus, tell them about your kit.
You're absolutely right. In fact, the seaweed extracts, the sodium alginates, chelated heavy metals, and the people that had all these given in miso soup in Nagasaki and Hiroshima survived, and the ones that drank the black rain that came down after the cloud.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that died.
Yeah.
And they didn't get detoxified. They didn't see the right doctors, and they quickly had a bone marrow crash, and then they developed these weird infections where they were literally standing there and their tissues were rotting.
They're falling off their bodies.
They're literally, their arms and legs falling off. They literally rotted while they were walking around. They were literally dead men walking. And
yeah, exactly.
So,
I think it's so cool that I get to finally talk to somebody after all these years that knows the same studies that I knew back at the University of Michigan in the mid-50s when we were doing this stuff.
Well, I posted actually on the under the medical conditions a list of a PowerPoint on depleted uranium and radioisotope detoxification. It's a lot of information. There's maybe, I think, around 60 slides there.
Yeah.
But it's all free. You can upload it and listen to it or look at it.
Yeah, you've got a splendid educational website. I wish that mine was up on par with yours.
Well, I got a lot more stuff to put on. Actually, I started a bunch more PowerPoints today. They're going to make it simple because I tend to get going on a project and I kind of put too much there. It's like I got to make sure I talk at the right level for the audience.
You know, I got a big seminar coming up in May. Maybe you should fly down and be part of it if you want to. You know, I'd put you up and everything in a nice place if you want to come down.
Sounds like a great idea. I'd have to come down with my wife, though.
Your wife down. We got a great hotel down there. I need to get the reservations in. It's a resort hotel.
So what kind of a seminar are you having?
It's off the coast.
Uh-huh.
Gladly cover your expenses getting down here if you want to be in my seminar. You know, we would have a lot of fun together.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah.
You know, the thing is that in a sense, what we're doing is what I call we're stimulating the morphic field of consciousness so that people wake up.
Yeah.
Because, you see, one of the problems that we have in our Western culture is we've got a very narrow idea of what we are as beings. And as a result, we also don't realize the connectedness. I mean, when we go and we kill people indiscriminately, like, quote, Iraqi ragheads, they call them, which I think is pretty nasty.
Yeah.
We're actually, in a sense, hurting ourselves because, in a sense, we are an organism. All mankind, and not just in this time-space plane, but also in the past and future. I like one of the statements that was said, and this is said by various different faiths. Basically, that when you kill someone, you don't just kill them; you kill all their descendants down through the trajectory of eternity, and that stream of consciousness. And I think that if we start thinking more in terms of what Dr. Masaru Emoto talks about water and about the fact that everything literally lives, that reality, in a sense, is a convergence of intentions.
Yeah.
Then we start to kind of realize, and that's why I talking tonight on a spiritual level, because I can lay out these things like the first line kit, but people don't know it. Like, for example, they think, oh, they hear the double message, oh, it's coming, it's going to kill 2 billion people, but no, it's not going to happen. Let's go back and watch your DVDs, go drink beer and watch football.
Yeah.
Well, or, no, the avian flu is just a scare tactic. They're just telling us this so that, I don't know, they can sell Tamiflu.
We talked about that last week. That'll be in the archives. But, our friend Sean Connor, who designed the nuclear, one of the things he brought up to me is, the dirty nukes. There's a lot of radioactive material stolen every day across the United States. I don't know about Canada, but a lot of it out of Texas, actually, from construction sites, enough to make a dirty nuke per day. And one of the things that he suggested was that he'd heard from Homeland Security was they just toss this powder, they micronize it into a powder. It's just a radioactive powder. And they throw it into the Sahara's ventilation system in Las Vegas. They close that building down. It takes people a week to realize that they're dying. Then they go out like flies after a week, because that's about how long it takes for that radiation to kick in. And then
right.
The whole town would... That's an economy hit from Al-Qaeda. So
well, you know,
in
New Mexico, what I heard is that they have 70,000 pounds of DU.
Yeah.
And what they do when they're finished with their munitions tests and their rocket sleds and so on,
yeah.
What they do is they incinerate it. So they just turn it into dust and make sure they push it out into the atmosphere. It's like the old story of throwing garbage over the side of the boat in the ocean.
Right.
Pretty soon the whole ocean is like a toilet. Only depleted uranium I call it DNA landmines. Now the same principle applies whether it's the avian flu coming. And this is not my opinion. See, I like you, I'm a scientist. And I like science for one important reason. Scientists are intuitive, and I believe that what they do is they intuitively know on what I call a higher dimensional archetypal level before they actually even formulate the idea that is a hypothesis. And then their mind, their intellectual mind, works with that spiritual intuitiveness and forms a hypothesis, and then they test it, and that's how they move forward into newer understanding of what reality is and truth and science and so on.
Okay.
Well, the thing applies to the avian flu. The avian flu has been monitored for 25-plus years and has only one basic gene in the cleavage site on this H protein. Well, this latest one, 2.5 years ago, all of a sudden showed up with 6. So I asked Dr. Henry Nyman, I said, how likely is that to happen spontaneously? He said, well, it would take a very long time. And I came back
and said, well,
what?
Years.
I said, 100 million, maybe a billion.
Yeah.
And I said, it's not going to happen. And the reason is there's an enzyme inside every cell called a nuclease, and that enzyme can come up. And depending if it has more than one basic amino acid, those enzymes can come from the heart muscle, the brain, and they can split it. And once it's split, the virus can then enter that tissue. So you have 6 basic amino acids, and this is brilliant. Whoever designed this are obviously very brilliant. It then means that the virus is like a killer bee. It can literally acquire genetics from other viruses by recombination, which means it swaps it. But then it becomes dominant. It's like a bee that basically becomes the super aggressor bee that takes over the entire territory. So now we have at least 7 strains of this avian flu, and it's capable of killing literally every mammalian and non-mammalian species if it just locks on and gets what's called the lock and key or the receptor binding domain. And there's 5 genes, it acquired one of these lethal genes as it went through turkey. And there's all five genes sitting on the H1N1 flu in pigs in France, to give you an example. If it only gets one or two more genes by swapping it, by having an infection inside a little pig or big pig.
Yeah, big pig.
Yeah, with an H1N1 and a human flu like H3N2, it's going to swap it, right? But that H1N1 flu in the pig will swap it with H5N1, and bam, you now have a pandemic flu. Now, people say, oh, there's more people died in their skateboards in their bathtub in New Jersey. You know, I said, you know, you got to understand. And the analogy I like to use is the cafe in Tel Aviv, where they blow up a bunch of citizens.
I remember that. Yeah.
2 minutes before they blow them up, they're sipping on their cafe lattes.
Yeah.
But, you know, microseconds after the bomb blows off, there's body parts flying in every direction, glass and debris. And the avian flu is going to be like that. It's not going to give us a lot of warning. It's not going to say, you know, I'm a pandemic, but I'm a gentleman pandemic. I'm going to give you adequate warning, so I won't kill you all. I'll just kill some of you. Well, the way I tell people is that you got to understand that the avian flu or any pandemic that's perfect, and this virus literally is a 10 out of 10, once it acquires the genetics to be efficiently transferred, it's going to be like a grass fire. Have you ever been on the plains when there's a wind blowing and there's a fire, like a wall of fire moving?
Yeah.
That wall can literally move at like 200 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And when it does, it can reach enormous temperatures, 3,000 degrees or more. And when it runs out of grass is when it stops. And we're the grass.
Yeah, exactly.
We're the grass. Mm. The only thing that's going to stop it is hygiene, host defenses, and reverse protection.
Right.
And things like ring vaccination. Now, I've had Dr. Henry Nyman on my show every 2 weeks for the last 15 months trying to get the authorities to listen to my show and say, you know, you guys got to get a clue. They're doing nothing.
No,
what they're doing with their $7.1 billion is buying razor wire that points in at internment camps to keep American citizens in, 24-plus international airports to have FEMA detention examination sites. So they have a place where they can stick a chip in you, call it RFID, chip, and they can examine you, and if they think you're, quote, sick, you're going to go off. This is today now. This is not 2 months or 2 years from now. You're going to go off for 3 to 5 days to a FEMA detention facility. If they go code red anywhere in the world and they decide, well, Homeland Security is going to go code red, if you come in and you go, at an airport, see you in for 5 days, maybe.
Yeah, well, I think we had a little escapade a few years ago up in Canada with a little flu. Remember that?
That's SARS. Now, the SARS was a very indolent flu. It's a coronavirus. It's really big.
Right.
But even that virus is huge. It whipped through these little masks that these smart doctors wore like it wasn't even there. It went through the cracks in the building, the apartment buildings in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
It acted like nothing. And you know how it started? It was a lab worker working on a bioweapons project in Hong Kong that decided to go to a wedding.
I heard it was started in a lab. I never heard the whole story.
That's how it started. It was a lab worker that had carried the virus and decided to go to a wedding.
Wow.
Now, here's what's happened with George Baby Bush. I call Emperor Bush.
Yeah, Emperor Bush.
What he's done is he's now made these biosafety labs, what's called BSL-2 labs, BSL-3 and 4. And he's now not only given them the most dangerous vial weapons known ever created, but also the Russians decided to give us something like 57 different vials just a year ago of all their nasty things that they created in their city in Russia.
Wow.
And these things are circulating all over the place, including the Rothschild-funded, and I'm going to repeat that, Rothschild-funded World Health Organization and National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Disease and Center for Disease Control built out of de novo from nothing. That shows you how advanced our science is. With a bioengine, built the 1918 human-pig hybrid flu.
Right.
With this bioengine, including all of its polymorphisms that cause lethality. And it was, by the way, only 2.5 to 5% lethal.
Yeah.
Worldwide.
I know.
This is 62% on average lethal, depending on which strain you have. Some are 100%. Some are 25 or 30. But if you average all of the strains around the world that are these lethal strains of avian flu, they're 62% lethal.
Yeah, well, I remember when they launched, you know, Ebola in African Zaire, that Belgium monastery there, with, and the problem, they were playing around with viruses and the problem they had with the chemistry of that particular strain was it killed too fast. They couldn't spread it far enough. It got out a few miles and everybody was dead. And
yeah, well, you see, it didn't have good characteristics.
You know what I mean? It was so, and the thing about the HIN5, it's got the same symptoms. You bleed out eventually.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's what happens. If you want to make a perfect virus, and believe me, this virus is, if you want to put it on the runway.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
That's this one. The Ebola was too fast.
Yeah, this one is perfect.
Once
you walk around and cough for 3 days before, and you're hacking and spreading virus, and then you can spike a fever in 45 minutes and drop over, and you don't even have to have respiratory symptoms. This virus can grow in your brain.
Yeah.
You can have a seizure, drop over, and your heart stop dead, and you just literally are standing there, and you just drop over, and when you hit the ground, your spirit is already gone.
Yeah. It's amazing, you know, back in my first taste of biochemical warfare was when I was 16 years old, because I was too young to go down to Lackland Air Force Base, and I was already impounded by the military. So they took me down and billeted me at Little Rock, Arkansas, by an Army base, and the two agents that were in charge of my, guarding, kind of like guarding me, because they wouldn't let me do much, were biochemistry, engineers at the Little Rock, Air Force Base, where they made this an Army base, actually, where they did the bioweapons stuff. Even though I was in the Air Force, I worked in two different labs for the Army that were involved in this stuff. And this is when I was like 16 years old.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yes.
How are you doing? Wonderful show.
Oh, hi there, Don. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And, I just want to ask two questions for you, Dr. Deagle, that has been clawing on me for a while.
Let it claw you no more.
Well, the first question is, as we know, the above ground government, as you say, is perpetrating the diseases, the scalar energy weapons against us from one end of the spectrum. I mean, we could go on and list them forever, one end of the spectrum to the other. But how do they, number one, protect themselves from these perfect viruses? Otherwise, they're idiots if they're just putting them out there without any personal protection of one form or another. And the second one is, are they in such control that their control is absolutely global to the point where they feel no reprisals? And the last question would be, does anybody out there know exactly who these people are at the top that have run this, have put this together? And if they do, would that list be anywhere to be found? And can we open it up to the public? That's the three questions.
Yeah.
Explain to them about the serum, which they use with the antibodies they developed. That might be a good place to start.
Serum of the...
Well, any kind of a serum that they extract from blood people that are infected that don't really come down with it.
Here's the first thing. Napoleon had a very interesting statement. He says, please don't interrupt your enemy when he's making a profound mistake. What we've done in our culture is we have an interesting phenomenon. We know that people like Bush are morons, but somehow because he's a president, we think he's imbued with intelligence by being in that office, or his handlers. And the problem is, I think actually they're more controlled than even the public is. So when Bush is taking Cipro for 3 weeks, and by the way, when you take Cipro 3 weeks before the Senate Heart Building comes down with anthrax, you're obviously taking it on orders. And you're also completely unaware that if you take it longer than 10 days, you can get a thing called pseudomembranous colitis that can kill you. So as smart as supposedly the handlers of Bush are, they have no clue what they're doing. And one of the things I'm trying to say tonight, if there's, and I'm sure they are listening, NSA, other agents, Mossad, GRU, whatever, is that you people are morons, and this is out of control. And you've created a, if you want to call it, Pandora's box. And this sucker is out. And even if you have the Zykronian 12 plague stuck away in a lab that you want to release, which is a fully weaponized version, the virus is quite capable of doing on its own and coming over decades in multiple waves and mutating and grabbing genes from everything from Ebola to Crimean fever, and you can't stop it. And you also can't create a vaccine for it I'm working with some technologies that were with a lab which I won't mention yet. That can. There's two different technologies we have that are non-harmonic energy systems that can kill it. Unless they've got something like a Rife technology, which I doubt if they have, unless they, again, did some trading of human and DNA materials with our, off-world allies, that there's no way they have anything to stop them. And like Dr. Henry Nyman says, the virus has the capacity to mutate so quickly. If you knew where all of the virus DNA was and where it's going, you could predict 12 months or 24 months from now exactly its genetics and create a recombinant form and create a proper vaccine or test drugs. But none of this has been done. And it's a random, fuzzy logic bioengine that's out of everyone's control, including the maniacs that made it. And so as much as we kind of imbue them with some logic or common sense, no, they're like axe murderers inside a steel cage, and we're stuck inside the cage with them. But the axe is moving so fast, they're likely to cut their own head off.
Very true.
And that's the problem, is that we kind of hope that there's some common sense even to the lethality of their determination to maintain the top or king rat position among the three or four factions of human and non-human entities that are involved with trying to vie for control of Earth. And in the meantime, what's going on is we're down here hoping that someone has some common sense or has the upper hand, and it just isn't so.
Sounds amazing.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, totally.
And the problem is I want to actually make some sense. That's why I'm working. We have this protocol called this checklist. We're also working with approved gas mask for a chemical and nuclear kit that has things like RSD Alcrim, developed by an bioengineering company in Canada that's used in 18 countries, that will turn off VX nerve gas and blistering agents. And we have 5X aloe that can turn off radiation burns and other things that can help your eyes. And other
things. I use a lot of aloe in my formulas. I know you do too. Plus, our nuclear receptors switch the DNA to a higher frequency. The process is called auric offset, where they can actually process radiation and not produce free radicals.
Right, and of course, that's the whole point. In fact, if you want to think of what radiation does, if you've prevented your body from getting affected with alpha particles and radioisotopes, which you can do, by the way, with liquid zeolite.
Right.
Which we have on our website, too. The most powerful one is this one we have on our site called Wayura Natural Cellular Defense. And if you can stimulate your bone marrow to continue to regenerate your tissues by protecting it, and you can use these auric field generators, what you're really doing is you're stopping those high-energy particles from making peroxy radical.
Exactly.
Because all radiation, all it does literally is make your water molecule, split your water,
right,
and generate a free proton and a peroxy nitrile radical. And if you can neutralize that with harmonic radiation that will break that process, it doesn't generate hydrogen peroxide inside your cells. And that's all that radiation does to you.
Yeah, I understand.
If it's not particular radiation, which is radioisotopes, it's a high-energy particles, whether it's cosmic rays, high-energy electrons, or gamma rays, all it does is generate hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah.
Period.
Now, what I'd like to do, another area, you know, is I wanted to cover tonight, is to talk about the accidents that you know of, that I know of, that never get reported, like the nerve gas thing over in Colorado.
Well, yeah, the thing is, for a couple of years I was a doctor for the hazmat teams that moved all our warheads, nerve gas, and bioweapons, and also Rocky Flats. And we moved a lot of stuff out of Rocky Flats in what I could say well beyond the licensing authority by which we did, because there's a limit to how much radioisotopes and how radioactive we could move it. And I remember one incident where my guys came back and they had an incident where the state trooper asked them to pull out all their radiation detectors and test the load because it was liquid radioisotopes and it was going to head to a destruction facility heading down toward Texas. And the state trooper said, "No, you're going back. This is 10 times more radioactive than your license allows you."
Yeah.
And that's very typical. And I remember every time something got spilled or near got spilled, we had a whole container full of liquid nerve gas heading toward Utah for the destruction facility out there. And it was this heading down the southern route through Pagosa Springs. It went over the side of the embankment and ended up down in the trees. Thank God, go all the way down, because below it was the Colorado River. And they had to get a crane in there and put wires on it and pull it up, and it took them several weeks to get that truck back up, but it was loaded with nerve gas.
I didn't see that on CNN or anywhere.
No, but imagine if it did get into the river, we probably would see it on the news. It'd be pretty hard to kind of stop thousands of people down river dropping dead from nerve gas in their water.
Yeah.
Well, if we have all, if we have all these ways that they're trying to depopulate us, as you were saying in Agenda 21, the amount of vitamins, minerals, health-related items, things you'd need just to be safe is, for the normal average person, is just daunting. In other words,
we keep it pretty simple, actually. I put together, I'll give you the short list. Firstly, the first line defense biological kit has defense tabs that will block viruses and bacteria from invading tissues. I designed it for that. It has wipes that will wipe and kill any virus or bacteria, anyone. And it's all biodegradable. It's not toxic to your nerves or brain or causes cancer. You can wipe a surface down. We have the Immunite, which is fulvic and humic acid that will kill all these viruses, with ionic silver and 77 minerals that help to stimulate your enzyme pathways to boost your immune system. And we have the whole leaf aloe. And whole leaf aloe is really powerful. People just don't grasp that in the ancient battles, for example, in Egypt, that they carried the actual aloe plants on special, they transported them right to the battlefield. And aloe is amazing. You can literally drink aloe and you can get exposed to radiation, and you won't get a radiation enteritis. It won't burn your bowels and turn it into rubber. You can put it on the skin and you can actually take someone with a cobalt radiation exposure and they won't even burn on their skin, and compared to the side that's not been covered with the aloe concentrate. But it has to be a whole leaf aloe with the very large molecular weight, like 2 or 3 million Dalton long-chain polysaccharides in solution with all the ionic minerals. And then we have the things like RSDL cream that can turn off VX nerve gas and so on. The list is pretty simple. The first-line kit we put together is biological, hygiene, host defenses, and then the chemical and nuclear, you can simply have things like this zeolite, where a natural cellular defense, your potassium iodate, and things to treat flying debris and burns. And we've made the list pretty simple.
Would you be willing to
get overwhelmed because the average person is going to say, "Oh, this is too complicated. I can't do it."
Would you be willing to maybe like put a short page together for the blog and service viewers and maybe?
Well, actually, you can just grab it off my site and just upload it. You can actually or put a link directly across to see. Chemical, biological, nuclear checklist, I call it.
Okay.
It's back in the news about a week and a half ago.
Sure.
If they just go to NutriMedical.com and just go to, they can upload it, or you can upload it yourself and just kind of put it up there on the blog and service.
Okay.
It's 14 pages in Word file. And then, of course, the depletium radiation detox, because people have to know there's two kinds of radiation. There's ionizing radiation, and there's the radioisotopes that are also heavy metals, so they
right.
have both heavy metal toxicity
and
radiation.
Of course, there's radio frequency radiation, which is transmitted as a wave versus
right, and that and exactly, and again, that's why your neutralizer works because
right, the receptor.
Right. In fact, we know this already, that without the formation of something similar to the Van Allen belt that we have on outside of the Earth around every spaceship, and without harmonic frequency neutralizers to fly in space. Cosmic rays literally fry your brain and neurons, so you lose a point in IQ every day you're up in space. So we discovered that back 40 years ago.
So really, the big game here isn't played so much. Pardon me, from what I'm gathering, it's not really played by the ruling elite. Let's call them.
The ruling elite are puppets. They're actually, if anything, they're actually more in the dark than we are. Even
by some form of. Extraterrestrial entity.
Yeah, there are some people that are what I call higher level operatives, like George Bush Sr. He set up what's called Project Omega that actually came out of Nazi Germany. And it's an above government agency that actually coordinates all of the secret societies and agencies around the world. So whether you're the Brazilian secret police, the British SAS, the Mossad, the Russian GRU, the Canadian Security Intelligence
Service,
this is an agency above that that coordinates with both human and non-human entities and actually is in control of the transfer of information of between all of them.
Now, do you? Now here's a few questions. Now that I understand it a bit better, and thank you for clearing that up, my question, last question, would be if there is entities, of course, extraterrestrial entities that are trying to depopulate this planet, gain control, and doing it over a long period of time through the means that you're using through our own people, there must be entities that have seen this and are looking to help us. And
well, yeah, exactly. And I happen to be a, if you want to call it, if you want to use the term, although I don't like using religious terms because I'm,
right.
If you want to call it a Torah believer, but I don't even like to use the word, you know, I don't like the word Christian. I'm
right,
a believer
right.
in Yeshua HaMashiach and all that kind of stuff, okay? But the clearest, you know, there's many, quote, religions that have had a portion of the truth, but the clearest was the original word that came down through Moses. And he understood, and they understood about extraterrestrial beings. In fact, it was a commonplace thing in the Middle East back then to have these things happen.
Right.
They also knew that that what we were as beings was certainly a lot more advanced than what, quote, modern science or medicine wants to subscribe us. That's why I even laugh when I hear people saying this person's psychic, that one's psychic. We all are. It's the nature of what we are. We're a spiritual being that has a human experience. And what's going on is, if you want to use the ancient term of Nephilim or fallen ones, you can't really connect the dots unless you understand that they're malevolent, trans-dimensional beings of a much higher order of technology and knowledge that are very, very ancient, that have invaded our time-space and have actually hybridized with mankind and created a supra-race that have ruled over us as the kings and queens of Europe and Russia and all these nations like China through the dynasties. And the
Atlanteans came here 26,000 years ago and started interbreeding with us.
Well, is it true that they're actually, I mean, I've heard from numerous people and numerous books, but numerous people talking about, and even people that were on the bases that talk about craft flying by various bases and either picking up warheads or picking up armaments, or the armaments are just gone or they're deactivated, or and some stories, of course, that's circulating talking about missile silos that have the armaments gone and what have you.
Yeah.
Is that true? And is it true that, now here's a far out one that we hear from various channeled sources, and that's several of them, and they say that no nuclear weapons are to be found any longer, or at least not completed, and nor will any nuclear weapons be allowed to be detonated in, on, or around Earth, or in space, for that matter. Is that true?
Yeah, I don't know if I would totally believe that. I know that's the intention, but you have to understand there's a number of converging forces that all have their agenda, and some of them are very good, and some of them are really bad.
Yeah, one thing. Don, you need to, with your new equipment, you need to get your volume up on my end.
Yeah, I can hardly hear you.
I apologize.
I can barely hear you.
I got you.
Dr. Deagle is fine, but you're very low.
Oh,
I can't hear you very much on my end either when I hear you.
I actually had to put a hearing aid on.
Okay, how's that?
Ah.
Is that better?
Hey, I can hear you better.
Let me interject a couple things here. One is that about civilization, you know, we have found geodes with, you know, little things like spark plugs here that are a million years old. We have in archaeological digs found craters lined with kryptonite, which is a green substance that says that there have been nuclear explosions.
You mean that's a real substance?
Here,
kryptonite?
You know, thousands of years ago. And the other thing about Moses, we brought Moses up. Moses was a very hard-headed man, and he somehow or other he pissed off God or the extraterrestrial he was dealing with, and they had to actually burn the message into a stone tablet because Moses wasn't getting it.
Yeah. Now, here's the issue.
And one other thing, Dr. Deagle, explain to him where the Quran, because a lot of people don't understand this attitude of the Muslims. Explain to them how the Quran, we talked about this, I just about forgot about it.
Yeah.
How the Quran was written, who wrote it, and how it started.
Well, let's put it this way. The intention of whoever was the enlightened individual or whatever of all religions, and I'm not leaving any out, so if they want to say I discriminate, they're wrong. They've all been perverted, okay? So if you, whatever religion you are, he was perverted from his original intentions, whether it's Christianity, Judaism, or whatever. But many of them were birthed in a very weird situation, okay? Islam is very interesting. When Muhammad was young, he was actually had all kinds of visions and dreams and so on, and he had a spiritual intention that he wanted to, that he felt that he was really receiving messages. So he wrote these down, or recall them, and then he went actually to the senior rabbinate in Babylon and other areas of the Middle East, and he totally was rejected by them because he knew that that modern Judaism at the time of him in the 8th century had perverted what the original intent was at the time of Moses. And in fact, it didn't even resemble in the remotest fashion even the intention of understanding what God was or what the intention was for the children of Abraham. Both, quote, Hebrews and non-Hebrews. And as a result, he tried to get them to, if you want to call it, have a reformation. And they rejected him. And then he went to all the Christians, and the same thing happened. So he decided, well, he didn't write down it because it wasn't a written language. He was going to then start a jihad. And in fact, eventually this turned into a number of raids that were very violent. Several hundred years after the stories of Muhammad were actually passed down verbally, because there was no written language at the time, the caliph, I believe it was the caliph in Babylon, decided that he was going to have it written down. So what he did is he had to search for an academic. And the only academics back then were the scribes that were actually a form of rabbinate. You know, the only educated people, just like through the Middle East, the Middle Ages.
By the way, Babylon is Iraq, for those of you that don't know.
Right, Iraq. So the only people in the Middle Ages were monks that had any education. They had equivalent like a PhD. Everybody else had like not even grade one. So if you weren't a monk, you wouldn't know anything about foreign languages or mathematics or anything else. It was all basically the purview of the church in the Middle Ages. It was very similar that, in a sense, the Jews were the only educated mathematicians, scientists, linguists. And, in fact, the caliph actually imprisoned a very well-respected and educated Jewish rabbi who wrote the Quran at his orders from verbal traditions that were passed on to him. And I had some very reliable sources. And what happened is, after being in prison for something like 18 years, although they had promised they were going to release him, they executed him. Now, he embedded into the writings of the Quran things which, if you were a Kabbalistic Jew, you would know that this was written by a Jew. Now, so it's a very interesting history, huh? So Islam, although many people get very insulted, they the most recent is this comic where they had, you know, bombs coming out of Muhammad's head. But you could do the same with the Pope. You know, in the Middle Ages, the Pope had his own army, and he killed millions of people in southern France in the Albigensian revolt, where there were holy wars. Yeah, holy wars. There were Essene-type Christians.
Holy wars.
Yeah, and if you want to look at the totality, I mean, in the 4th century, there were 32 million people in Mesopotamia.
Yeah.
After the jihads for the first few hundred years after Muhammad, they had reduced the population of the Middle East and Mesopotamia down to 4 million. So they killed a lot of people, and so did the Catholic Church, and so did ancient Israel, if you want to be specific, and so did the dynasties in China kill a lot of people. In fact, that's another little aside. The reason why the Chinese eat with chopsticks is because the emperor didn't want them to have knives, which is interesting. I mean, people nowadays, when they realize you're not getting a knife on the plane, it's because we're going back.
Chopsticks. I love it.
Well, you know, okay.
Heard it on BBS radio.
Well, it's actually a fact. That's the reason why the emperor decided that they weren't going to be allowed to have knives, so they had to learn to eat the sticks.
Well, what's the bottom line? Like, if someone were to say, Dr. Deagle, tell me what you see, based on your experience, your information, what do you see happening over the next 2 years, or let's call it 4 years? What are the things you feel that are very strongly to occur that mankind needs to be aware of?
I'll give you two kinds of answers. The first is what I call conjecture answer, and the conjecture is we have some hard things and we have some kind of conjectures. The hard thing is we have a date that both in China and America, there's a national ID going to be demanded by January 1, 2008. Now, I happen to be, just so happened, again, this is, again, if people don't believe in fate, it's because they don't get in the way. In 1994 and 95, I was a doctor for the Echelon Project and the World ID. So I've been underground through the supercomputer quantum array of computers at Falcon Air Force Base, Schriever Air Force Base in Falcon, Colorado. They have been building a database in everybody in the Western world for decades. So if anybody doesn't believe that there's a global matrix with a database for everybody on Earth, they're a fool. They also have thousands of companies that are front companies for IBM building chips with satellite connections and everything, with cell towers and Gwen towers and everything, to not only track you with these little chips, which they intend to put them in the stickers and cars in Britain and America and Canada and everywhere, but they want to put this chip in you. And it's also the next step to putting a chip in your head. Now, if people don't believe that they can control you with ELF frequencies, they do it even without chips in your head in Fallujah. They have these devices and they have fences. In fact, I talked to Major Frank Stoltz just a few weeks ago. One of his buddies was going to Saudi Arabia to sell this perimeter fence between Yemen and Saudi Arabia that was, they literally could send harmonic frequencies that would make a hardened military person curl up in a fetal position. So the weapons that you think are there, or the intention of where we're going, is far nastier than you can imagine, but we could stop it if we just kind of woke up and said, you know, I don't think we want to do this. The problem I have is that people are not just asleep. They're not even paralyzed. They're almost running in the wrong direction. And they don't believe that it's really going to happen. So, number one, we're dealing with a national ID. They want to get this in us, and they know we're going to fight. It's like somebody that doesn't want to have a dental procedure, and he's going to fight tooth and nail no matter what, not to let you open his mouth and get those dental instruments inside his mouth. And that's where I think we're at, is the public is going to start waking up, and they know that we're going to wake up, and they want to pin us down quickly enough that they can do what they want to do to us, just like a pinned animal that they want to brand or they want to do something to that the animal is going to fight it. So I expect us to have terrorism on American soil or overseas or simultaneously, usually, most likely nukes. I know the avian flu is coming. Almost certainly there'll be large clusters at least this year, if not pandemic transformation. Or next year, and we have the federal election coming up, which, you know, of course, the election this year is probably going to sweep away the Republicans because Bush doesn't care even about his own party, and the Democrats will almost certainly start doing impeachment proceedings, which I'm sure will never go anywhere because they're going to do major terrorism, and they want to start using these shiny new rail cars with shackles in them, and they want to use their incinerators, and they want to use their fancy 200-plus vaccines that they've developed that can fry nerve pathways by setting up plaque and specific receptors to block your brain pathways and turn you into a zombie. And this is not a B-movie. They actually are testing on DPS children in Britain, and they'll be testing them in Americans very soon. So, you know, I'm a guy on the inside who's seen these things, known these things, and I'm really, really, really upset. And I already know, like one of my CIA buddies said, you know, Deagle, he started laughing. He said, you know, you are dead. And I said, yeah. He said, but, you know, you can either die fast or die slow. And he said, I'm with you. I'd rather die fast.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
You know, I want to die with my boots on like the old cowboys used to
say.
That's
right.
Yeah. And, you know, if they think they're going to take a piece of me, they got to realize there's enough Scots and German and Lebanese Christian in me, that I'm going to go with a hell of a fight.
Yeah.
But you know, and it'll be intellectual, spiritual, technical, and otherwise, to try to save not only myself, but every other human being and every other living thing on this planet, because I don't have an intention even for those who are doing evil, because I think they're deluded. They
right.
think they got control of this thing, and I want to say categorically, they're fools.
Yeah, they don't know.
People like you, Fred, and me, know we're smart enough, and we're connected enough, and we don't have an intention for evil, because if we did, they wouldn't be living.
Exactly.
We're very capable of making weapons that they can't even visualize or imagine we could be created, and the reason why they're alive is because we don't have an intention to harm them.
The
and we want to inform them because we don't want to have destruction on the Earth. We don't have three or four factions fighting
right.
to destroy the planet or the entire solar system, and tear our civilization down, when we're on the threshold of joining the you want to call it the cosmic community of civilizations, which we're very close to. We're also close to failing the test.
Well, there's such a small portion of these people are in control. I mean, you would think with some form of underground organization that was tactful enough and, you know, clever enough that they would be able to bring awareness and open up some of these areas and do you know what I'm saying?
Well, actually, I have a little different, and I'll give you, it's almost like what I call a vision, okay?
Okay.
You think of this as a big blue machine, and the machine is kind of, it's like it's wound up and it's going in a direction, but it wants to do something that ultimately is very bad for everybody. And there's a number of people walking around in white gowns, and they're people who kind of catch on to listening to the show, and they're going to grab a bunch of seeds, and they're going to throw them, but they're going to land in the gears of the big blue machine. And at some point, those seeds are actually going to take root and start growing. And when they grow, the grain that grows is going to be like titanium. The gears are going to lock up, and they're going to stop. So there's going to be people inside that are senior NSA, FBI, Special Op Delta, off-world civilian, you know, in these, flying the Aurora between here and Mars or the moon, wherever. And they're just going to say, you know, I don't want to do this. I don't want to see, let's say, Chicago become an ashtray. I don't want to see 3/4 of the population of Earth die vomiting up blood. I don't want to see people walking around screaming because they just went blind seeing a flash. And if they grasp that if they just stand up now and have the guts to realize that we are already are dead, then we might live.
I like the way you put that.
Brain dead right now, that's for damn sure.
Right, and the thing is, I'm not just addressing the quote humans that are listening, because there's a lot of other factions that, to me, to be honest with you, are still throwing what are called cosmic tantrums and still don't get it.
Well, the Pleiadians have a huge fight. I've dealt with them.
Right, and my point is that we've got to grow up, even as big as the galaxy is or the universe. It's still not big enough for babies and for civilizations that their technology outgrows their spirituality. Because ultimately, no civilization should be led by anyone than the most spiritually higher intention beings within that civilization. If it is, it always leads to destruction because technology always creates hell.
So it comes
without spirituality of intention of good.
Yes, so it comes down to really the best way to be of service is to inform and to bring solutions. In other words, products, things that may be able to help them, but really to inform them.
Yeah, but the key thing is I've laid out, for example, for the last 8 months the first line of defense kit, and I'm amazed we've sold some, but I mean it's a tiny trickle. And people don't grasp it. I hear other people go on, and even on these Patriot networks, and they're saying, oh, no, it's all a scare tactic. I'm saying, you know, excuse me, do you have any idea the level of qualifications that I have and where I've been and what I know? And I've actually got documents from scientists right from Geneva, Switzerland. They're making this thing to kill us all. And somebody wants to argue with me. I said, it's not open to argument. I don't want to argue. I just want you to just kind of take a deep breath and realize you need to do something now or you're dead, and all of your relatives and your whole civilization is dead.
And you know, the funny thing is that I was the generation before Dr. Deagle. I mean, luckily Dr. Deagle came along, because I obviously was not in the circulation and flow after the, you know, mid-70s. So I was out of touch other than my friends in intelligence and that and around the Air Force and that I talked to, but I was not in it. Dr. Deagle has been in it. Like I said on the last show, he took over where I left off. So it's so cool to have a lineage now. My lineage goes all the way back to the 50s.
Well, one of the distressing things I have is I have contacts. I'm sure you do, too. But I have contacts that call me. Like I had a...
I have them, too. They call me very...
Yeah, they call, but the thing is, I say, I'll bring you on the show if you use your whole name and talk about completely what you're doing. Like I had one guy that's Dumb One, certified as an Atomic 3 scientist.
Yeah.
And he's also a senior aerospace technician on the Aurora spacecraft that flies between here and the moon and Mars.
Right.
But he won't say his name because he said, well, you should have got me 2 years ago. I'm saying, you know, don't be a gutless wimp. You got to wake up and realize that you can't go far enough away from George Bush and the guys running and controlling this little puppet, because you might think you can escape, but whatever's going on is far bigger than just what's happening on this little planet or in America.
That's right.
And if you don't confront it here, now, it's going to be a lot worse down the road.
Yeah, that's true.
And you got to realize that just avoiding it and figuring, well, if I stay out of the way of the matador's heels, I'm okay, the cockroach in the stadium with the bull stomping around. No, you're not going to make it.
Well, I know that if these people are serious and they really do want to open up, and if you know them, it's not just BBS Radio. We have a whole avenue open to us that we can utilize to getting their message out.
Well, and the thing is, getting their message out and convincing other people that people like Dr. Fred Bell and Dr. Bill Deagle are not wackos.
Yeah.
See, that's the craziest paradigm change. Is like, oh my God, you mean they're not nuts? Oh my God. Are we ever in a lot of trouble. Serious trouble.
Yeah.
And the problem is, we even lie to ourselves and tell us that, yeah, surely the people in the top have an antidote because they kill themselves. Don't bet on it. Don't bet on it. Just like these fools that are playing around with antimatter weapons down at the University of Texas in Austin. They've got antimatter weapon research going on there that could literally create a chain reaction that could make us just go, whoomp, and all of a sudden you're eating breakfast, and the next second you're just kind of a spirit floating around the galaxy like, what the hell happened?
And that has happened to other civilizations.
Right, and if people don't think that this has happened to other civilizations, I can guarantee you that what we are is a physical being, I'm sure, did not originate on this planet. We're much more ancient than that.
Yep. And
contrary to this, quote, New Earth stuff, I mean, we're very, very ancient.
Yeah. And speaking of civilization, we have one last thing before we finish here today, is we were having a little bit of a chat about what goes on underground. You know, I like to explain to them how they dig these tunnels underground, because the military, as I've been saying on my shows for years, is going underground because they don't trust what's going to happen up here.
Yeah.
Somehow these devices work and how the holes don't collapse and the beings down there. Run that by, because I think that was a real good conversation we had the other day, too.
Yeah, well, I took care of John Fiala, actually, and met him down in Houston. And
the lung problems and all of that.
Yeah, and what happened is these tunneling devices back in the mid-90s were tunneling 80-foot circular rock face at a rate of 7 miles per day. And what they do is hit it with these impact lasers and vaporize the rock into microparticles, and then put it through the system that literally vacuum it and blow it on the sidewalls and super compress a form of obsidian rock. And then they would lay an inner core that was interlocking sleeves that would snap together. And then, of course, once they finished, they'd form a unidirectional vacuum maglev train, which this device would lay tracks, okay? And the problem is that these nanoparticles are very similar to the same problem we have with nanoparticles of depleted uranium. There's no ventilation system that can stop them from going right through the side of the tunneling device. So it destroyed the lungs of these guys, and that's one of the reasons why they lost their health. It causes peripheral neuropathy from the heavy metals. It causes organic brain issues. It causes serious what's called alveolar arterial block, so they don't get enough oxygen, so very minimal activity. And they get restrictive lung disease. So you look at their lungs on an x-ray, and it's very whited out. Just like if somebody's working around beryllium or titanium computerized milling machines. And I work with those. We work in a Pratt & Whitney, Jet Aircraft Parts plants, and other plants doing classified metals for space warfare and all kinds of stuff like that. When they made these tunneling devices in these cities, they made two kinds. They made them. One's called a matrix-type design that would literally go back and forth like a web and go back and turn around and go back and forth and form one layer and then another layer in almost like layered spirals, and then they would connect them all. And they would then build cities by connecting all these tunnels. And the other way was to use tactical nuclear weapons with the Army Corps of Engineers, which is pretty advanced. And Phil was, of course, the nuclear detonations expert on that. And they would then blow up these underground places, depending on the strata of the rock, if it was ideal. And they would build cities between 5.36 and 7.24 cubic miles in size. And
I had many friends that were on the explosive end of that and did that explosive work to build those.
Right, and they got a lot of them. They got about 132 cities.
Up in New Mexico, the Apaches were telling me about. There's some huge stuff that went on with.
Oh yeah, they got huge cities down there, and they got air vents and and water down there. In fact, one city, give an example I know specifically from multiple sources in Colorado, that was between I-70 and Conifer. They could house 16,800 people for 7 years, minimum at least, with nuclear reactors and hydroponics and supplies and everything for that number of people. And, of course, the short list would include, former President Ford, who lived up there near Vail, and lots of other dignitaries and senior military personnel and so on. They could then operate from there.
Yeah, my mother, by the way, back in the 40s, worked in an underground city building fighter, like P-51 Mustangs, outside of Wichita, Kansas. And this was underground. They had stoplights. This is the 40s now. They had stoplights in the compound, and she used to, fly those damn things over to the East Coast. They'd take them apart. After they build them, they bring them out of the ground and assemble them. Then she'd fly them over to the East Coast. They put them on those Kaiser ships, disassemble them, and take them over to England.
The same thing with
huge cities with stoplights. So this
exactly. Well, of course, the same thing happened in Germany. They were building literally their advanced warfare planes, even though
they ran out of pilots.
They ran out of pilots and everything, but they were building planes almost as fast as the end of the war.
Yeah.
They didn't have fuel or pilots, but they built lots of planes.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're all built underground, too. I mean,
That's huge. But I didn't mean to interrupt. I thought I'd throw that in for a little history.
Yeah, it is true. It's really the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
So now here's the thing, and I want to connect the dots in this.
Yeah.
The reason where they get the money is from two sources. They get it from the Rothschilds and the other above government globalist organizations, but their main funding source is illegal drugs that come into America that's brought in by the government.
That's right.
On C-130s that come back from places like, Afghanistan, want to make sure them poppies come up. And coming into naval ships. I mean, I talked to Special Forces guys that literally told me in tears, how they didn't think that they were supposed to be guarding something, and all of a sudden they're pulling little pallet loads of white powder and giving it to the mafia right there off the docks. And they were actually told to even shoot the captain of the boat if he was down in these secure areas where they were the ones that had the only secure codes for these areas of the ship. It's not funny. And it's not funny to hear stories about C-130s going from Buckley or Peterson Air Force Base going overseas with supplies for our troops that are not properly fed or equipped, and then they're coming back with pallet loads of dope.
No.
And it's paying for $250 billion minimum,
quarter trillion
a year.
Yeah.
It goes to black op projects for building underground cities and weird space-based platforms, off-world facilities and everything that's on the moon and elsewhere, and weapon systems that are unbelievable.
You know, what's really probably upsetting the flow right now is the local crystal meth laboratories. The DEA's got to be all over that.
Well, the reason why they're all over it is because any Yahoo can go out there and make this darn stuff.
Yeah.
But, and of course, that's, human beings are very destructive, unfortunately.
Yeah.
The problem is they should not have turned it into a criminal situation. They should have turned it into a treatment thing.
Yeah.
And then they should have said, look.
Like they did in Holland.
And they should have said, as soon as you become out of control an addict, you immediately have a medical issue, and we have to, therefore, apprehend you and treat you.
That's right.
And that would be logical. And I'm talking about
if
someone's not
about
a
people.
Pardon me?
That's if you actually cared about people.
Right. If you care about them, you'll take them as an addict, and you get them in a facility, and you'll do things, and you won't turn it into a criminal behavior.
Right.
It's like the issue with pain patients, okay? And I want to differentiate between addiction and pseudo-addiction. Addiction is you'll do anything to continue to take more and more drugs, including violence or harming yourself, and you know it's causing further deterioration, but you're going to persist. That's addiction.
Right.
Very few people in chronic pain dying of cancer or non-cancer ever get addicted.
Right.
Very few. You have to be a psychopathic nut in the first place to do that. It's very rare. Most people are pseudo-addicted because they keep on manipulating their doctor because they're saying, my God, doc, I'm getting resistant to this drug. It worked 2 months ago. Now I'm in freaking agony. Help me. And the doctor's responded, you've accelerated your dosage. I'm cutting you off. And the patient panics and then starts doctor shopping. They say, look,
exactly. They're
doctor shopping.
Yeah,
and of course,
I know.
The patient ends up down on the street corner, and say if it's L.A. or elsewhere,
yeah. And
they're buying illegal dope because they can't get it from their doctor. And the doctor's afraid because if he prescribes more drugs, he's going to be feeding a, quote, addiction. the state board or the Board of Medical Quality Assurance is going to stomp on his door with
right.
those dogs are going rawr, 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 bark at his door, and he's going to have flak jackets and batons and fully, you know, they're going to have the Kevlar helmets. They're going to, doctor, we want to see your records. And they slam his face against the medical cabinet and say, you are a criminal. We are arresting you for feeding an addict. And the addict is someone maybe dying of cancer.
Yeah.
And now that, the war on pain doctors and pain patients, is a byproduct of the insanity of these projects, because their biggest source of funding for these weird projects is illegal drugs, and that's why they had to go into Afghanistan, because the Taliban actually said they were going to get rid of the damn poppies, and they got the crop down to 18% of its peak level. 18%, my gosh, this is soon going to be gone.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? I guess we better invade.
Yeah.
Now, the Brits just shipped over in the last few weeks, I don't know, it's like 20,000 British troops, not to oversee the cities or make sure that they're safe for women and children. No, it's to make sure they shepherd those nice little pups, because it's harvesting season, to make sure they end up in British airplanes heading back to be properly processed to get on the illegal market.
That's too funny.
So that's the reality.
Yeah. Don, are you going to be raising poppies up there in your backyard?
You know, if it makes that kind of money.
You don't want to compete, or you'll end up with lots of...
You'll get a visit from the DEA.
You know,
that's what they're for.
You know, I would be willing to, do anything possible to this administration and some of these government officials, but touching their dope, forget it.
Yeah, now, and here's
that's
the
what
other
DEA
thing.
Does.
Don't think they get rid of the
you don't touch their dope.
Yeah, right.
Exactly what they do. That's why they're born.
Yeah, well, the DEA are malevolent. I mean, just look at Sally Castillo, his book on powder burns. Just read it. I mean, I tell people, don't believe Deagle. If you do, you're a fool. Go out and check the documents, and after a while, you'll see enough other gutsy people like Sally Castillo, who used to be a DEA agent, whose book Powder Burns, or read about a book. Oh, I love this book. This is one that I particularly like, the one with Gary Webb, San Jose Mercury News. Read his book. He suicided himself. And let me tell you, all these suicides are done by contortionists. They do the weirdest damn things, just like Phil Schneider, you know, putting a piano wire around his neck and his ankles and then naked and kills himself. I really think so. Or just think of...
pretty ingenious, huh?
Oh, yeah, they just wanted to make sure they went out with a real kinky flair.
Yeah.
So don't believe it. By the way, I'm saying this public on air. If I die, they kill me. I don't kill myself. I'm not going to. I'm going to die someday anyway. But if I die, they killed me. And if it's weird, guaranteed they did it.
Well, I'll tell you, my great-great-grandfather, triple grade or whatever, Ethan Allen, who started got the Revolutionary War going with Colonel Parker, asked him, how does this war start? Because Washington was camped out at Valley Forge and the British were laughing at the aristocrats down there. And Ethan Allen says, well, to start a war, goddammit, somebody's got to die. So that fired up Colonel Parker, and he went out and shot a few people on a bridge. Later on in the war, Ethan Allen, he was 7 feet tall. He was a great big guy. They call him the Giant of Vermont, and he was up in front of King George over in England, and they were going to hang him for treason. And Ethan Allen told him, King George, hang me. I can't wait to swing from the gallows. That'll release my spirit from my body, and I'm going to come back and haunt you. I'm going to haunt your generations to come. I'm going to haunt everybody in England. You're going to see Ethan Allen's spirit everywhere. And that's always been my attitude. You know,
yeah, you have to have that attitude.
Oh,
in fact, that's the only attitude that's going to not only keep...
that's actually my attitude. Don knows it. And you're saying the same damn stuff that I do about, first of all, you said just a second ago, prove me wrong. And whenever I do when I do my solo shows, they're real controversial, I put a bunch of websites that you can go, and a lot of places you can go, to prove me wrong. I want to be proved wrong. Thank you if you can do that.
If you can challenge me. I had a lady that called me yesterday who was Muslim, and she was very offended by me saying that the name Allah was the 276th moon war god that existed for thousands of years in the Middle East before Muhammad decided to use that name. Well,
yeah.
Sorry, that's just the facts.
Yeah.
Just like when L. Ron Hubbard decided to write a novel about all of this stuff, and turn into Scientology. Yes, Scientologists do some good things, especially against the insanity of drugging people in psychiatry, but you have to know the roots of these so-called religions. And I believe in spirituality, and the purest form, as they say, was right back in Torah Judaism, you know, in Moses. And after that, it polluted and went downhill, and every religion of every ilk on this planet has been perverted and created so they can cause destruction or an excuse to kill or dominate other people.
That's what they've done. They all have a track record of blood.
Right, and whenever I talk to pastors of any ilk, they always reject me. Now, I come when I spoke 7 years ago for a group called the Prophecy Club, okay? And I spoke in 42 cities in Israel. And I spoke as a doctor scientist, and I also spoke as a prophet because I'm an intuitive. And I'm coming back out with my two books, one called Abortion to Armageddon, which is the abuse of all technologies, very similar to what Nick Begich, but goes a lot farther, Dr. Nick Begich, on the technology of the 21st century, but also a book called Clay and Iron. And it's a book that will unseal a lot of the things so people, like your question earlier, Don, that will explain what is going to happen and what sequences and why. People's eyes are open. They're going to say, you know, they need to stop looking out beyond the stars for God and realize, just like Yeshua Emmanuel said, he said the gospel of the kingdom is, it is in you, that you are responsible. That when he said, when I return, you will be as I am, and you will do even greater things. And what people need to realize is that we're responsible if we let the earth become depleted affected by depleted uranium by people like George W. Bush and his junta. We're responsible if we destroy the whales by not moving the shipping lanes so that they are constantly running into these great mammals, that one of the greatest creatures that ever was created. Instead, we don't care about the earth. We don't care about our future generations, so we allow them to drink diet drinks. We allow them to be exposed to mercury in their vaccines, and they can go on my website if they don't believe me. I did the research 26 to 23 years ago with Dr. Murray Vimy, and hundreds of doctors and dentists have lost their licenses for removing mercury. Isn't it? It's called vitamin M. Didn't you know? But someone like me, who is a rational person, has been persecuted continuously for speaking out and saying, you know, the emperor doesn't have clothes, and he has a hairy butt.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's the problem, is I've always been that way. And again, people need to know that someone who comes to speak as a prophet is coming to speak, like me, with a large axe against foolishness and lies. And as I say, prove me wrong.
Yeah.
If you can prove me wrong, that's wonderful. Then maybe I'll grow further by you showing me some little detail I didn't know. And
right
I learned
there.
From people
right
that way.
I'll be right there with you. My first book was called Death of Ignorance.
Right. And that's exactly it. And the problem is, people don't, he says, you know, people accept a lie because they love not the truth. I don't just love the truth. I don't even think the word love is strong enough.
Not anymore.
Don't absolutely think it's your breath, it's your blood, the truth, no matter how ugly or how wonderful it is, you're doomed.
I agree.
People consider, you know, God is love and all these great things, but I know that having had very strong negative encounters with negative psychic forces and negative extraterrestrials, that if you project love into the situation, it will consume it. So there's negativity in its highest stance can actually consume love. The only thing that you can stand up against the highest negative force is truth, and that's the only shield there is.
Right.
And you have to live that life to clothe yourself in it. If you live the life of denial, like most people on this planet do, you don't have a life, and you won't have a soul. You'll lose your soul.
Well, that's what's happening. See, this is what's happening. These vaccines literally are going to take away the soul of man.
Yeah, I know. And that, you know, when I used to run my drug clinic for PCP and heroin and freebase and cocaine addicts. The PCP one was the heavy one, and it had this cyclohexane in it. Well, you know, piperidine and cyclohexane are the key ingredients, and the key ingredient in Tamiflu is cyclohexane. I mean, anybody go do your chemistry here. I mean, so simple.
Right. Well, that's in fact they were doing another metabolic step in Japanese production of Tamiflu.
Yeah.
And that's why one of those young people back in the fall jumped in front of a train, a high-speed train, and the other jumped off
the building.
He could fly because they took Tamiflu.
Yeah.
And they died because it's a hallucinogen.
Exactly. That's what angel dust was, and I did a show on that, and Don remembers it, and we posted it, and I predicted death, and that I think 13 children died in Japan, 79 people over here got put in the nut house.
Right.
And that stuff.
Well, you know, wouldn't you think it was Rumsfeld? You know, I call the minion of Satan. Now, listen, people don't understand, and I like to use terms that they'll understand. If they're a Christian or whatever faith they are, they have to understand these malevolent beings, I like to call them Nephilim, demons, whatever you want to call them. They're a higher dimensional being that's very intelligent, very ancient, and they're a lot of steps ahead of you unless you really open yourself up to the truth and also start to come in harmony with the God of the universe.
Yeah, you really
can't. If you don't come into harmony with the God of the universe and let him direct you, my God is God. Just like, you know, when Daniel's, had his events happen before King Nebuchadnezzar of ancient Babylon, they had to say, you know, your God must be God.
You know,
well, my God is God, and that's the only reason that keeps me going, because I realize we are at the end or the nexus of civilization. We are at the end of the road. This is not a rehearsal. The curtain is ready to go up, and Act 1, Scene 1 is about to happen, and it's going to get very, very nasty.
I love the way you put that. You know, because really, you can't outsmart them. You can't outthink them. You're not going to move two steps ahead of them. You're just going to have to give in and allow, you know, your inner heart to come out and really work with spirit, because otherwise you've lost.
And right, and in fact, I tell people this. I say, look, if you think your 50 caliber guns or your fancy weapons are going to beat this, you need to know that this is a spiritual war above all. It's above the technical, that's thousands or even millions of years ahead of us. This is ultimately a spiritual war. It's a war. That's why people aren't buying the first-line defense kits yet, because they think, oh, I think Deagle's just an alarmist. He's trying to sell these things. We don't even make any money on this stuff.
Well, whenever
we want to do it, because we don't want to see people die. We don't want to see depopulation of the earth, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like the Bible says, man is as rare as the gold of Ophir. We don't want to see it so there's 100,000 people on the planet.
Yeah. Well, whenever you put spirits, with what you talk about, which is so much science, and not only the science, but the information behind it and names, places, and dates, when you add in the equation, spirituality, then it gives that, let's say, flaky connotation to many people out there.
Oh, yeah. They think it's flaky, but they don't understand it's the substrate by which all power comes from spirit, not religion. Now, religion is what I call a saccharine substitute for spirituality.
Yeah.
I love it.
Because religions are you intending to create a fantasy world and hoping that you have lied to yourself and to reality so we will behave.
That's right.
And it's not going to happen. Just like people say, let's see, the Red Cross in Europe had special hearings and 210,000 people disappeared from Dime Corps. Some of them went to underground bases. Some of them disappeared in Saudi Arabian brothels or in harems. Some of them were actually shipped off world, and some went to human veal. You know what human veal is? Where they ended up being consumed by other people.
Yeah, hydrogen peroxide plus human veal.
Human veal.
Food for the grays, baby.
So,
right, and the thing is that people say, no, that doesn't happen. I said, look,
green. Remember that?
I've been down there with the soft underbelly of the snake. Let's put it this way, where its slimy surface meets the rocks, and I've been down there. And I know exactly what color its scales are.
Oh.
Yeah, I've been down there, too. You've been down in later. I love
it.
Don, there's two Fred Bells or two Dr. Deagles out here.
Well,
what are we going to do now? The world could not have handled one of us, and now there's two of us. And I think we'll probably have number three.
There's probably many more, and the thing is, maybe some of them are listening. What we need to do is inspire those to have a spiritual backbone and stand up, just like that show. Will the real Mr. Da-da-da stand up?
Yeah.
Right.
And there's a lot of them, and Mrs. Stand Up, because if they don't stand up soon, there's not going to be any more standing, because where you'll be standing next is in line to go to the guillotine, to go to an incineration chamber or an underground work camp where you'll never see the light of day again.
Yeah. Literally.
Literally.
Yeah.
And if you don't think that it's coming, I have really bad news for you.
Yeah. You know, you should hear, Don, you should hear Dr. Deagle and I have our private conversations. We go over scenarios of which bad things shall we produce today on the show.
Well,
we have solutions for all of this.
Absolutely. And
we're going to do all those. We're going to do shows on solutions, but I think we got to hammer the dark nail first.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Well, the thing is, we have to tell people, yes, you can survive a nuke in a U.S. city like Chicago. You can know in which direction to go. You can treat burns and flying debris. You can survive radiation from radioiodine.
But see, I still
radioisotopes.
You can do things
to protect yourself and your family and your loved ones and your society. You can enforce that the government starts to take back all the ports and make sure that ships are anchored off miles out and they fly over with a helicopter with a phased array analyzer that can actually tell if there's any scintillating material in these containers.
Exactly, and that's so easy to do on every single ship that comes in.
Every ship would have to be, you anchor the sucker out 30 miles out, you fly over with a helicopter, the helicopter says you're cool, we fly you in. Every single damn container goes through a radiation detector. Why are we not doing it? I don't know.
Well, I still have a problem with the fact that, you know, I mean, getting ready is one thing, but I think we got to head this thing off at the pass and really get the word out where people become aware of exactly what's going on and what they can do to stop it, not just solve the after effects.
We have to do both. You have to actually, you have to approach it every possible level. It's like the approach I take when I go into a battle. It is the same as William Wallace.
Right.
He didn't go into a battle thinking he was definitely going to win. He knew he was going to fight with every fiber of his being and instill the same spirit in everyone who fought with him.
Good point.
And he felt that he had a half a chance if he did that.
Right.
But he didn't go into the battle thinking, I'm going to come out alive. He went into the battle knowing that when I go down, 10,000 of them will go to the dust
right,
as well.
Right.
And that's the way you have to approach all this. Plus, you have to plan for every contingency and do everything as if every possible bad thing could happen or good thing.
Right.
And you've planned for it.
Good point. Thank you for clarifying that. You know, just to speak to the audience, thank you, listeners, again. You know, Dr. Bell is going to be doing a live show. I'm going to say something on the air that not even Dr. Bell knows yet. So, but he's going to be doing a live show every Saturday from 6 to 8 p.m. or 6 to 7. But those 2 hours on Saturday evenings will be blocked out for him. He's going to be bringing on more and more guests. Hopefully, Dr. Deagle not only is on a lot more, but decides to have his own show. So again, what's your email, Dr. Deagle, so these people can email you and say, you know, get your butt on BBS permanently?
Yeah, well, I'll give you the website first. It's Nutrimedical, N-U-T-R-I, like nutrition, N-U-T-R-I, medical, M-E-D-I-C-A-L.com. And they can email off the website, or they can go to my personal email, which is Dr. Bill, B-I-L-L, Deagle, like eagle with a D in front, long sight, long talents, eagle, at earthlink.net.
Excellent.
Dr. Bill Deagle at earthlink.net. And the idea is that they shouldn't look to us as leaders. We are just, if you want to call it, the first fruits. We are the archetype. They need to become as us. It is
right
like
on.
Disciples. They need to stop looking up to Bell or Deagle that we're going to lead them all through and we're going to give them every solution to every problem. They need to get tuned in at a spiritual level. They need to start getting themselves prepared. They need to come up with solutions that we haven't come up with for issues that we aren't even touching or dealing with. And they need to stop looking to be a follower. They need to become a leader.
Right.
Whether it's a leader in their little community, their home, their business, wherever. And they need to stop looking to figure, if I could only get the right leader, I'd be okay. No.
Right.
You need to get spiritually tuned in. You need to get out of Babylon. Get out of the confusion of whatever religion you're in that's telling you things are going to be okay. Like the so-called right Christians that believe in the rapture, or the Kabbalistic Jews that think that they can mumble a bunch of Hebrew words and everything's going to be fine, or the Muslims that feel if they just did enough jihads, everything would be okay, or whatever group it is that somehow wishfully think that they can create the reality by not acting on what they know is not true.
Very true.
Very true. Well, you know, it's about action, or we wouldn't have arms and legs. We'd just be big heads floating in space.
Yeah.
So, you know, I truly do thank you. And again, to the audience, email Dr. Deagle. Tell him to be a permanent placement on BBS. And make sure you go to Nutrimedical.
Now the show that if I go to BBS, will be a little different than my Nutrimedical show, which mainly covers geopolitics and nutrition and depleted uranium.
Right.
And I want to cover some of that stuff, but it's going to be called Clay and Iron. And it comes from the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. And it comes from the last, they call it the toes of clay and iron, for the very last secular, if you want to call it, empire on earth. Because what we've had basically for the last number of millennia, since the last cataclysm that destroyed the earth and made it formless and void in the last conflict, which was probably, by the way, nuclear, as well as other scalar technologies many millennia ago.
Yeah, the last nuclear war was 12,495 BC in Atlantis, and it created the...
Well, of course, my chemistry professors even went over to Ashurbanipal, India, and proved the actual changes of the ion patterns right in the soil. And they weren't even religionists. They were just chemists, right?
Yeah.
So that's a fact. Whether people want to believe that, it's the truth. But what I'm hoping is that people will kind of grasp that what I want to do is I want to open their eyes up on all levels, spiritual as well as technical, and realize there's only one truth. There's not a zillion truths. If I only have a partial understanding of it, that's good. If we continue to grow together and get more understanding, that's the only source of power, is the desire to have the truth and have an intention of good toward all beings. And if we don't, there are universal laws that come into play. And those universal laws have a way of biting you. And our civilization is about to pay a price that we have not yet realized. And what I would do if I come over is to inspire people to start reconsidering what kind of mind control project they're in, to reconsider the technologies that they bought into, maybe the pharmacological drugs that they've believed from their so-called doctors,
right,
or the educational process that they're going through with their universities and schools of how it's actually creating a matrix of destruction rather than creating a world where people don't have want, where people don't have pollution, where people don't have every form of destruction of the very nature and fabric of what we are as a being, which is far more than just what they want to circumscribe us as.
Right.
And what I want is people to live as in fullness. And that, in fact, was what Emmanuel said, Yeshua HaMashiach, said, I want them to have life and have it in its fullness. And what they did, of course, which they always do to those who come as prophets, is they want to destroy the messenger because it destroys a little paradigm of control, which is all based on religion, not based on relationship, not based on relationship with the Creator. And that's what I hope to do, because I see people's spiritual blindness as the reason why physically, emotionally, and technically they will not do the right things.
Hear, hear. You know, thank you. And, I mean, it was a wonderful show tonight. Pardon me, Dr. Bell, thank you for bringing Dr. Deagle back on. I'm truly thankful that you're bringing this information out.
How many emails did you get last week about playing this show?
Well, again, as everybody knows, I'll have help here on the 21st of this month, so I'm just going to keep fluttering through some of this myself until the new help comes over to take over a big portion of the radio programming.
And of course, I know that Dr. Bell, you're a naturopath. You believe in natural substances too.
Right, exactly.
And so I'm a regular trained medical doctor, but I've done integrative alternative environmental medicine for 26 years. The problem I see is you have groups like the World Trade Organization trying to take away all these nutraceuticals. You know that they're finally ready to do something really horrendous to all of us.
Oh, I know. It's a big battle.
You can feel it.
20 years, and we had, you know, Clinton Miller and a couple others, and permanently lobbied in Congress to keep our health freedom choices there, and they're going after us now.
Thing is, we have these remarkable things like this liquid zeolite, NCD, that's 8 times powerful than any other zeolite in history that can pull all the heavy metals and toxins out of your body.
Yeah.
We have natural cellular defense from blue-green algae that can release 35% more bone marrow stem cells to actually regenerate your tissues and heal you, no matter what age you are.
Yeah.
These technologies and the ones that will come in the next 5 to 10 years could double, triple, or 10 times increase human lifespan. It will not be impossible if we live in a stable and non-toxic world for human beings to live thousands of years.
Yeah, like
in the very, very near future. This generation may be the last generation that will die. As it says right in the Bible in Isaiah 60, it says, you know, though a man die at 100 years, it will be as the years of a child, because man's years will be as the years of a tree, thousands. 2,000, 3,000 years. And then it won't be even dying, because when people live that long, they become so spiritually advanced that literally, they aren't really dying. They're literally walking through a veil to the next realm.
Yeah, there's transcendental moving over. It's immortality.
Right, and the thing is,
holding of it.
That's what our original plan was, and we fell.
Yeah, I agree. You know,
we fell, and we are in a fallen state, which is the end of civilization, which is why my, if you want to call it ministry, if you want to use that term, it's Clayton-Aaron, because it's the last secular empire. We are on the nexus that all these spiritual questions are being answered, and there's a technical response, and it ties in with science. But the ultimate solution is always spiritual.
Right.
Which is why the top level of every civilization must be the philosopher, priest, which is why even in ancient Israel, the king wasn't the one who ruled, the high priest was.
I love this guy, Dr. Bell. He's actually one of the people who's got a real, real head on his shoulders.
Yeah. You know, when on the Giza Plateau in Egypt, you know, that third pyramid is from Myrasena, and he was the priest. And, you know, the other two were pharaohs. The three pyramids are there, but the priest got his in, you know.
Absolutely.
So funny. Yeah, the priest was very important in old civilizations. They ruled.
Well,
yeah,
they understood that the only way they would have longevity of civilization was if they were they kept this balance.
Yeah. Exactly.
And without that,
what good is being a priest if you got no subjects, you know?
Well, here's the problem: is right now the religions have turned the consciousness of people so hard that, you know, I have more receptiveness from someone who who just comes up to me and says, "I believe in ETs." I said, "Good. I can have a dialogue with you. I can talk to someone." I can't talk to people who are ultra-right-wing Christians who believe in George Bush. He's a godly man. I'm thinking, this man is a Satanist. Do you realize his father eats human flesh and he's a pedophile?
Yeah.
Do you realize what this man has done?
Yeah, he's a wacko.
And people don't understand, you know, what's really going on. And they look at me and say, "Oh, I can't have anything to do with you. You just believe
right.
the man of the Lord,
yeah.
George W."
Yeah.
And I, look, I'm a pro-life believer, okay? I am. I'm against abortion and human tissue experimentation and all this garbage. But when I see this abomination of these people who call themselves good people, good intentions, thinking and not listening to the facts, they don't want to hear the truth.
They really don't.
And I don't care what religion they are. They have to wake up and come out of Babylon.
Yeah.
Because if they don't come out of Babylon, they will be destroyed.
Yeah.
And be back around for another kick at the can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is probably what happened in ancient times, long before the dawn of our civilization.
Oh, it's always happening. It's
we're either get it right this time, or we will annihilate it. And I have a feeling that the technologies we have now, in many ways, is far more malevolent than destroyed the civilization in the past.
Yeah, it is.
I think we have technologies now that could completely not only just annihilate our planet and turn it into a mess, but do a lot more damage than that.
Yeah. We rotate around a Pleiades every 26,000 years, and that, of course, is number of inches around the pyramid, and that's also in proportion to the carbon atom in the body. So there's a lot of divine, you know, geometry here. But
Of course, everything is fractal. The universe is fractal.
Yeah.
That's why Masaru Emoto's work on water and how the universe itself is, you want to call it, a fractal expression of consciousness.
Yeah, and In one of these revolutions where we are now, where we reach what people call a photon belt, which I just call where light illuminates consciousness, versus, you know, the density changes of the physical form. But in one of those revolutions, Mars lost its atmosphere and its civilization. Another planet blew up and became the asteroid belt. So we cannot not look back at history and see two civilizations in one world that was destroyed already. And if that happens, according to what the Pleiadians say, then there will be a lot of souls out here because they can't get out of the ring pass knot of incarnation into other spaces. It'll be hung in limbo up until Jupiter, which will be the next evolution of a planet. As the sun shrinks and gets hotter, Jupiter gets more dense. We've got to wait about 12 million years before Jupiter can support life. So that's kind of
that doesn't sound so good, does it?
Yeah, that's not a very good place to go in the future. Yeah. We got this planet right here, or 12 million years of a void.
Well, the thing is that our civilization we've got to move forward. You know, right now, for example, the depleted uranium they put up, and this is a technical fact, but it ties in with the spirituality.
No,
we're destroying the Van Allen belt around the Earth, and we're going to expose the entire planet to cosmic rays, solar storms, and everything, because
and
if they intended
earthquakes without a Van Allen radiation belt, we're subject to corona ejections called CHs, and that's an app. They all have numbers. And if without the Van Allen radiation belt, they cause Katrinas like you've never seen before.
And so not only that, you know what they also do?
Soon, you know?
We also know that when these energy, basically energy ejection things hit the Earth, they bounce around inside, and when they hit the right harmonic, just like a musical note, there's the tectonic plates have a musical harmonic too.
Exactly.
And they reach what's called the piezoelectric slip threshold.
Right.
And then you end up with a plate slipping.
That's exactly what they do. They dance.
They dance, and it dances basically like a musical note or a master vocalist that's in the opera.
Yeah.
They can hit a note and make a glass
across
the room vibrate and harmonics and shatter.
On 3M commercials.
Right.
Yeah.
And that, you see, without the Van Allen belt. So if idiot Bush starts this nuclear war, even if they only blow a half a dozen cities up and kill 6 or 7 million people, they might just fry the Van Allen belt just at the top, by the way.
Yeah.
The sun's going to increase from the helioseismology, 50% increased solar activity in the next 11-year cycle.
Yeah.
How smart.
Yeah.
What good timing.
Yeah, it is. For the Dark Forces' big plan.
Right.
The Dark Forces will gather a lot of sheaves, and then I think that brings Revelation, the Great White Throne Judgment Day, where people can sit and watch their ignorance for 12 million years.
Well, you see, this is where I see we are at. We're at the, if you want to call it, the perihelion of consciousness.
I agree. I totally agree. And this, we only reach this every 26,000 years.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, thank you. I know that we have another show coming up here. I got to put on
thanks for having me back on. I guess
we'll have you on a lot.
Oh,
I hope it can inspire people. They need to get a spiritual backbone, because if they don't get it now, they're going to pay very dearly, a price that they can never imagine.
I agree. Well, I would definitely like you two to talk and see what time's best for you, Dr. Deagle, if you'd be willing to.
We've got to do that next week, get his own show going here.
Yes, absolutely.
I'll come on as a guest if you want in the beginning or whatever.
Yeah,
if we can
set up on ISDN lines, if you can do that, that would be good, because I have an ISDN capacity here. And,
okay.
If the studio just called me on my ISDN, it would be much better. We get better quality sound and recording, so...
You got it.
The same thing here.
You got it.
Laguna Beach, we're even more retarded.
We can do that.
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate it, and everyone take care, and as I say on my show on Nutramedical on Genesis, take care and take action. There are no silent heroes.
I love it. Thanks for being on.
Take care, everyone, and
right,
stand up now. There won't be any standing soon.
Okay. Talk to you soon, Dr.
Okay,
Deagle.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.